I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Welcome on into another edition of Love of the Star. You can get this podcast wherever you get your Odyssey podcast, and we'd love it if you would like, subscribe, tell all your friends about it. Zach Wolchuk alongside the Super Bowl winning scout, Brian Broaddus. Of course, we do have our third member of our crew, Eric Chiafalo. He will be joining us, Brian, for a live edition of Love of the Star. If you are locally in the DFW Metroplex on Saturday, okay, we will be live at Hurtado Barbecue, their new Dallas location off of South Harwood Street. We'll be there at 11 a.m. We're going to probably do a live Q&A if you've got any Cowboys questions, any draft questions. We'll be hanging out there for about 3 hours, 11 to 2 p.m. We'll record the show. So that's going to be a lot of fun, getting to do a live edition of Love of the Star Hurtado Barbecue this Saturday starting at 11 a.m. I'd love to see all of you out there in your beautiful faces.
Yeah, and well done there, Zach. I think you painted a very nice picture. And yeah, if you could come on out and as you mentioned, we're going to do the show and hopefully take some questions. You know, if we don't get questions on air, we'll surely be around to answer any questions that you might have. So yeah, very exciting time. Hurtado Barbecue, you know, that tremendous food, tremendous partner with 105.3 The Fan. And so looking forward to a great Saturday with everybody.
All right, let's talk Cowboys. And the big thing is that this coaching staff's really finishing up here. They're finalizing this thing. And since we last were talking with you on Radio Row, we did get a couple of new additions to this staff. In fact, quarterback's coach is going to be Steve Shimko, who's been here before.
Right.
But then you've also got your new offensive line coach, Connor Riley, coming over from Kansas State. He, of course, has a lot of familiarity with my dude, Cooper Beebe. Also, the running back as well. Could the deuce be loose, Brian Broaddus? I think that's the number one thing that I saw after this hire was, oh my gosh, does this mean we are finally getting the Deuce Vaughn breakout? But you got another college coach coming in, the wide receivers coach, Junior Adams, who was formerly at Oregon. He's kind of been bouncing around multiple stops, but did a good job with Troy Franklin last year. And this most recent draft, you got Tez Johnson, who we've talked quite a bit about. All of a sudden, does that make him more of an interesting candidate? But what's standing out to you? What have you heard about Shimko? Maybe anything new about guys like Derek Foster, Tyquan Underwood, Junior Adams, Connor Riley? Really good offensive staff shot he's putting together.
Yeah, it is. And you mentioned Shimko being here. And if you go back to before Shimko was hired, Boston College, he was the offensive coordinator, and they ran the ball very effectively, though. They had Castellanos, I think, was the quarterback, the freshman quarterback, since his transferred, but they ran the ball very, very well. So he has that kind of that background, the understanding of how to use a quarterback, how to use a running quarterback. So yeah, it's, those things are very, very positive. You mentioned about Adams, waiting to hear back for some Oregon people, heard from some people at some various stops that have been with him. You know, the questions were about how to develop. Has he been able to develop? And I think that's that's really what you want from your wide receivers coach. You know, the Cowboys are kind of in a little bit of a situation right now where they're trying to find a number two, a clear number two. And for the last several years, we've talked about Tolbert. You know, if you look at how Tolbert's played, there's been some very good. There's been some very not so good. But I think that, to me, you know, this wide receiver coach, very important hire, because you're going to need to find a way to make that room better. And so we'll see how the draft plays out. You mentioned Tez Johnson, the very talented wide receiver from, you know, from Oregon. Is he now in play? A little bit about his size, as we've talked about, or his body type, I should say, a little bit slighter, but explosive in a lot of ways. So maybe you need more of a guy that could be a true X. And we talk about X, it's on the line of scrimmage, it's the in-breaking routes, it's a lot like what, you know, with A.J. Brown and what he does with the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, you have Smith that has the mobility, you have Brown that has the inside, big-bodied, down-the-field kind of guy. So all those things are going to be to come into play with this offensive staff. You mentioned the offensive line coach. I've said this a bunch. Todd Archer and I have had this discussion before about the most important positions on the coaching staff. And when you start to say offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, then the offensive line comes right into that slot, because, you know, we've seen not just from the Eagles, but the teams that have been able to have success, you know, in the National Football League, they have a good offensive line, and they have a really good coach that kind of supports that group. So, you know, Shoddy going the right direction. It is interesting to see the college approach that he's taken. And, you know, sometimes you get these coaches that are on NFL staffs and they get set in their ways, and they don't want to learn, and they don't want to adjust, and they don't want to relate to the players as well as they need to. And it looks like Shoddy's kind of gone with a group of guys that are kind of that young, can maybe relate a little bit better, probably lack a little NFL experience, but, you know, that's what they're going to have to make up for it with their enthusiasm, their ability to teach, and then hopefully the front office can find them some players to surely coach at a high level.
I think that's the most exciting thing, and we've discussed that on a variety of our platforms, whether it's on the Draft Show, on the G-Bag Nation, 105 through the Fan, or right here on Love of the Star, is getting a variety of new ideas. I know they stress continuity, but what Schottenheimer's done with this staff is certainly dipping into guys that he doesn't necessarily have familiarity in a background with. Some of these guys he does. But bringing in guys like we've been talking about, Coach Riley from Kansas State, the new wide receivers coach, doesn't necessarily have a track record of working with them, and getting an emphasis on the running game. I know we had Emmett Smith on our show, and, you know, Emmett was very outspoken about Ashton Jeanty. Not like I don't like Ashton Jeanty, I don't want Ashton Jeanty, but if the Cowboys are going to take a premium pick, they need to have a plan for him. And I think that's totally fair constructive criticism. I've wondered myself, have the Cowboys had a plan? Have they had a vision in place for what they want to do, or is it just very reactionary? It seems like the plan and the vision for this staff is, we do want to get creative of how we run the football. We want to put an emphasis on running the football. And Dak Prescott, speaking to the media yesterday, seemed to be all about that. Number one thing that came out of his mouth is, we need to improve our running game and how we run the ball.
No, you're absolutely right. And they've come to the realization that Dak's mobility might be limited. You know, we're talking about age. We're talking about injury now. And, you know, you need to be able to tailor that offense around that ability. And I think that was something that, in talking to some folks, that maybe McCarthy and Jerry Jones agreed on, you know, when they were having discussions about Dak Prescott and what to do going forward, was, hey, you're going to have to tailor an offense around a guy that might not have, I'm not saying that Dak won't run and use his legs, but it's not going to be as prevalent probably as we've seen in the past. And, you know, there's going to be those times where he's going to have to throw from the pocket and make those types of plays. And I think Schottenheimer with the staff, you know, if they can go out and get the, you know, it's, I don't know with the offensive line. I think there's some things I'm very hopeful with Adams, you know, and the other coaches that are involved, that they do find a way to coach these guys up that you have. I don't know how many changes they're going to make on the offensive line. Maybe they're going to add, you know, maybe they're going to add a draft pick or two. Remember Thomas last year from Louisiana,
yeah,
a guard that we really haven't even talked about at all. You know, what has he been doing in this time when he was basically not involved in the day-to-day operations of, you know, going out and practice and stuff? You know, was he able to get in the weight room? Was he able to get stronger? Was he able to get more flexible? You know, there's some names that they're going to have to probably play with the guys they have unless they make a commitment to once again drafting, you know, a tackle or a guard. You and I have talked about this on the draft show on DallasCowboys.com. We've talked about it on 105.3 The Fan. We're not totally comfortable with all the offensive linemen. I should say I'm not totally comfortable with what's going on at the top of that board. I think it's going to be a little bit of here's our best guess on this guy, and away we go. So I don't know if Dallas is going to use a premium pick on an offensive lineman. We very well could see them drafting another one at some point in time in this draft, but how it's going to probably come down to, you know, getting offensive weapons for Dak, running back, and a wide receiver, and then kind of hopeful that the new coaches can bring the best out of these offensive linemen that are currently on the team.
Cowboys have spent, you know, they drafted Tyler Smith, then Mozzie, then Guyton. So two of the last 3 years, they've spent first-round picks on offensive linemen. Yeah. How much of that conversation goes into the draft room where it's like, man, guys, can we continue to spend first-round assets at one specific position group?
Yeah, I think it's clear.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
When the quality of the player matches where you put them on the board, I think that's what makes you draft players, is that, okay, listen, we've got to, you and I have again talked about the depth at running back. We've talked mm-hmm. about the depth at defensive tackle. We've talked about the depth at edge. We've talked about some of the depth at corner. it's a little easier to draft those positions when the quality of the player is there. I mean, it's, you know, Dallas has done some good things back in the day of, you know, best available player. You know, the CeeDee Lamb draft was just a great example of, you know, everybody had them taking an edge and they ended up saying, my gosh, this guy's on our board, the sixth overall player. Let's make sure we draft him. You know, and then Diggs was a guy they even talked about at the time at 17 in the first round at corner from Alabama. And it was like, whoa, we get him at 60. You know, it's just sometimes the draft falls the right way for you, but you don't go in with any conversations of like, okay, we've drafted offensive linemen two out of the last 3 years. There's going to be a point in time we have to stop. If those offensive linemen are better than other positions, then to me, it makes absolute sense to do that. They, you know, the thing with Guyton is that he was on the tail end of all those good offensive tackles. Mm-hmm. Where you picked, and you know, you really liked Barton.
Yes.
from Duke. That to me, right there, that could have, you know, now it would. Could you have come back and drafted Beebe? But you know, if you're drafting Barton, you're going to have to make that pick. You don't have the extra third. So to me, it was, you know, you could have, you know, the thing with Guyton, it's about maturity or lack of right now. It's about being a better pro. You know, these things, hopefully, you know, he doesn't have a lot of experience, and that's why he was on the tail end, you know, of the tackle talk. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they felt good enough about him and his athletic ability to bring him in, but they've got to correct the penalties. They've got to get him on track for being a more mature player. And if those things happen, you get a chance to have, you know, we could talk about him much better terms than what we talked about him this year, but it doesn't affect you, Zach, to be honest with you. It just, you set your board and, you know, where the players fall, that's where you need to take them.
With Guyton, and this might be some of our fault as well, but we have the expectation with how the Cowboys have drafted offensive linemen
plug and play.
They're going to come in and be plug and play and be really good.
Yeah.
Guyton didn't have the same type of collegiate career mm-hmm. and resume as some of these other guys did. I mean, really, I think all of us looked at him. We probably had different ways of things that we liked or didn't like, but he was raw. He was a little bit of a project mm-hmm. player. The talent is there with Guyton, there's no doubt, but he really only started 1 year at Oklahoma. He mm-hmm. he was a guy who kind of like pinch hit every once in a while at TCU during his time there. So he hadn't played a lot of football. So I think that we probably put some unfair expectations on Tyler Guyton. And here I am making excuses for the player. He's got to mature. He's got to take it upon himself to be a better pro and to take that jump from year one to year two. But I do think it's probably needed as a Cowboy fan base to recalibrate a little bit of how we view Guyton and not just view him from the same lens as we have some of these other Cowboys offensive linemen, because he wasn't as pro ready as some of these other guys were.
No, you're absolutely right about that. And like we were talking about, he was on the tail end, you know, of whether you thought he was a first round player or a second round player. There were much more accomplished offensive linemen, tackles. To me, like I said, Barton would have made a lot of sense to me there, you know, just stand there and, you know, but it was important that they got the third round pick. They drafted, you know, Guyton who they wanted. And they, more importantly, got Beebe. So they, you know, they've got a center it looks like to me, I think you're absolutely right about, you know, his ability. I'm looking forward to seeing this coaching staff working with him and seeing if they can get the absolute best out of him, because there were some moments last year where he was really, really, really good. But the learning curve, and the learning curve wasn't really steep for him, for somebody that hadn't played center. You know, we saw in training camp some high snaps and some problems that way, but man, it wasn't something that was a big issue going into the season, and the calls, the protections, all those things he seemed very, very comfortable with. So as far as plug and play, him worked out very, very well for Guyton. Maybe some of our fault for talking about him, but you know, the player needs to look at the mirror as well and work harder at his craft.
You are listening to the Love of the Star podcast. Love of the Star is an Odyssey podcast you can find on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.